We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Just wise words from Wendy Adams there. What? At the end of that commercial break. I can't say it on the radio, but it's just, Wendy's a wise lady. Follow her on Twitter, at Wendy Radio, or on Instagram, at Wendy Radio, and she will give you life instructions. Do you guys hear a weird, like, static noise? Oh, it's coming from me. I wonder why. Hey, Will, talk for a while. I'm going to try to fix this.
Sorry about that. This is Midday Show with Andy and Randy here on a Tuesday. We'll get 20 minutes from now into the Falcons as we get ready to go for training camp with Jason Butt. He, of course, covers the Falcons now for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, of course, a long time with The Athletic and also with Tackler. We'll get into kind of some of the questions that surround the Falcons season over the course of this upcoming campaign. Of course, the very weird challenges that they'll have to go through here, not only with training camp ramping up. And that's the real thing that we've been talking about over the course of the last couple of days with the way the NFL is structuring their camp. It's like 4 days of testing and a bunch of virtual meetings. They won't get themselves actually on the field until the 3rd of August when they'll be doing some strength and conditioning stuff. They won't put the pads on until the 17th of August, Andy. It to me, is just a real rough way to kind of start the season, and like we said before, you know, it could be like the 2011 season where we have a scenario where we have some raggedy football here to start. Not good. Of course,
it's not. Oh, it stopped. Excellent. I'm back now. Hi, Will. Oh, okay. Will's gone now. It's fun. We're playing musical chairs with whose connection is bad. Anyway, a lot to get to in the noon hour. I assume Will told you that Jason Butt is coming up in 20 minutes. Now of the AJC, as well as Tackler Media. Looking forward to talking to him as the Falcons report to training camp today to be tested for COVID. We're seeing players around the NFL opting out. Haven't seen any Falcons opt out yet, which is great. One date to keep an eye on as far as that goes is August 3rd. August 3rd is the date that players have until to opt out. I mean, what happens if you opt out after August 3rd? I don't know, but I think sure. In order to be eligible for the money that you can get if you do opt out, there was a clause put into the agreement that they came to late last week that was something like $300,000 if there's a if you have a guaranteed contract or something like that, or if you have a family reason for why you're opting out, $150,000 if you have a different circumstance. So my assumption is if you want that money, you have to make your decision to opt out of the season by August 3rd. If you do it later, then you're probably not eligible to get that money. But as of now, we haven't seen any Falcons opt out, which is good.
It is good. And, you know, the part of this that I find interesting, Andy, is, you know, we're seeing all these guys opt out now, but the thing is, like I said earlier, it all depends on your situation and where you feel your standing is with the team. You know, the thing we always say about the NFL is not for long. Somebody who's in a situation that might be more tenuous will probably feel more pressure to play, which is why you probably might see somebody who's more high profile opt out from that scenario and that perspective. So if it's a situation where you got a guy who feels like they might not have a job when they come back, they might feel more pressure to play.
We'll get to some damn good questions with Brian Gebhardt coming up at 12:40 as well. Brian asked us yesterday, what do you expect from Fulte tonight? And we answered that question and said a number of different things. None of them involved Brian Snitker saying what he's about to say here as we get to the Braxton Big Clip of the Day. The most important audio in the world, brought to you by Braxton Automotive, after warranty luxury repair.
Perry told him in there, you know, before the game was over, and I think he was hurt. It's not a good, an easy thing to tell a guy that, especially somebody you've had for a long time that's worked hard. He's been a big part of this organization, and I'm sure he was hurt.
Yeah, so that's Brian Snitker after the game talking about how Folty was told that he was DFA'd. In the middle of the game, they take him out after 3 1/3. He heads back to the clubhouse, and they send a guy back there to tell him, yeah, man, so this is the deal. We may have very likely, and I have a hard time believing otherwise, seen the last of Mike Foltynewicz in a Braves uniform. I wouldn't be surprised if another team picks him up and gives him a shot, and I'll be honest with you, I hope it works out for him. I hope whatever it is that was standing in his way hopefully is a mental thing and not a physical thing, even though it kind of looks like a physical thing. Certainly seems like a physical thing with his velocity dropping the way that it did, but I want what's best for the dude. Seems like a nice guy, struggling with a lot of demons, and the thing that is so crazy about it is, and Brian pointed this out, Brian Gebhardt pointed this out in our text thread earlier today, we're literally two starts removed from Folty going 7 innings in a playoff game and looking dominant. Then he did what he did in the first inning of Game 5. He did what he did yesterday, both of which he gave up 6 earned runs and was awful. We've seen guys' careers derailed by less than what Folty did in Game 5 of that series. Sometimes guys can't overcome things, and we know Folty deals with confidence issues, to put it mildly. Maybe it was too much for him to handle.
You laid out a lot of the parameters that go with being designated for assignment or trade, which is basically the verbiage that they're using right now. And like we said before, whether or not he clears waivers or, you know, potentially refuses an assignment because of service time, things of that nature, I think it's presumed that he might have pitched his last game for the Braves. But, you know, he could accept an assignment to Gwinnett, and they could possibly try and run this whole thing back with him again. I just don't know what's sending him to Gwinnett when all you're doing there is basically playing simulated games against yourselves. I don't know what that does for him.
I also don't know that a 28-year-old gets sent down to the minors back-to-back seasons the year after he was an all-star and then comes back and pitches for that team again. You know what I mean? True. Like, and again, I want to be wrong about this, but I don't know that Folty going someplace else is going to fix it either.
Did you just see what Ken Rosenthal just tweeted?
No, I didn't. What did he tweet?
He said, in a team vote, vast majority of the Nationals players voted against going to Miami for a 3-game series this weekend. Sources tell The Athletic, decision will rest with MLB. Wow.
Interesting. So the Nationals players didn't even want to go down there.
Right.
Before they did go down there. And then what happened when they were down there was the Marlins got cute with protocol and decided to play, even though they probably shouldn't have decided to play.
That's for this upcoming weekend, I should clarify.
Oh, for this upcoming Oh, that's right. The Phillies were the team that were down there. The Nationals said
for this upcoming
weekend. Okay, yeah, and that's bad because they have that right. And if they opt to not play, then baseball's in a really bad situation.
Right.
Yeah. Now, back to Folty and the Braves situation that they find themselves in. It's an individual human being's baseball career, which is one part of the story. And I think we're all hopeful that Folty figures out whatever he needs to figure out. It's also a baseball team that's 4 games into a season and no longer has a pitching rotation. Here's Brian Snitker talking about not knowing what they're going to do in 5 days.
We'll see how we get there. You know, there's no days off, so, you know, it's going to kind of be all hands on deck getting to that spot. We'll just, you know, it could be one of a couple of 2 or 3 guys. It could be an opener. It could be any different scenarios. Like you said, just depending on how we get there.
Yeah, Snit doesn't know. that's a pretty honest answer for Brian. I don't know. Opener, I don't know, somebody else.
That's the slogan of this season is we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. Hopefully we figure it out. I mean, look, here's the thing about it. There's a lot of different ways to look at it. One of them is that the Braves still have a ton of talent in other places. The lineup, still really good. The top end of the rotation, still really good. The bullpen, still something that we feel like we can count on, even though Tuki Toussaint looked awful yesterday, and I don't know what they're going to do with Tuki. But it is a major concern at the back end of the rotation. It was a major concern heading into last week. We had a different member of the Fox Sports South baseball, Braves baseball broadcast on the radio show every day at 11:20 last week. And in one way or another, we asked each of them, what's your biggest concern headed into the season? And I think we were 4 for 5 on the starting rotation. Not Soroka and Fried, but what happens after that. And that was before we knew that Folty was going to be DFA'd. It's a tough spot. And I think for a period of time, you weather it with some of those bullpen options. I mean, Kyle Wright better be good tonight, man. If there was ever pressure on Kyle Wright to have a great start, tonight is the night. He is auditioning for a season-long spot in the rotation. And if he pitches well, great. Then there's a solution to your problem. That's what Mike Soroka and Max Fried did last year. Hopefully Kyle Wright could do it this year. Unfortunately, they need even more answers than that. Like, Kyle Wright pitching well tonight still doesn't answer everything. So it's going to be tough. It's going to be really, really hard for the Braves to figure out what they're going to do from here. And we talked about this before the show, Will. If they want to go out and make a move, there's not really like a great market right now. The Braves don't have any leverage to go out and make a trade and not get fleeced. So
the problem is what they need is what everybody else needs.
Right.
Although I have confidence in Wright. I have confidence in what we saw with him in spring training. Again, we haven't really seen much of him since they've been playing in summer camp, but I do feel like there's something there with him. He's got a more compact delivery. He's got more movement on his pitches. I feel confident in him, but like you said, they are far away from solving the whole thing as far as their starting rotations goes.
When, like a month ago, the depth was something that we were really championing when it came to the Braves starting rotation. Was, well, you got Felix, you got Hamels at the back end, Folty in the middle, Newcomb. They're going to be competing.
You could argue it was the greatest strength of theirs. Is that their organizational depth was the greatest strength of theirs heading into the season, and it's being severely tested.
In three different ways, they've lost starting pitchers that we thought were going to be a part of that depth. Folty can't pitch anymore, so they DFA'd him. Felix opted out because of health concerns, and Cole Hamels is 36, I guess, and hurt, and he's on the 45-day IL. Maybe he'll be ready by September. It really would be nice if Cole Hamels was healthy. Like, right. I know it's not really his fault and all that. Like, he wasn't trying to get hurt, but they did sign the guy for $18 million to be ready to pitch in March, and now it's the end of July, and I know he hasn't missed that many games because the season got delayed, but damn, Cole Hamels being injured, it already sucked. It really, really sucks now. Like,
what's
come
that,
on,
like
Cole?
$3 million a start now in September?
I don't know. I don't know what it prorates down to, but it's not good. Not a good situation for the Braves at all. All right. We'll get back into the Braves as the show goes on. I know Smoke and Joe Patrick is going to join us in the 1 o'clock hour and talk us through some more of what's happening with the Braves. Who knows? Maybe we'll have more answers as for what the Braves are going to do before then. Another big story, though, as you mentioned from that tweet, the Nationals not wanting to go down to Miami to play their game. Their manager was asked yesterday how he feels just in general about the safety protocols.
One, I'm going to be honest with you, I'm scared. I really am, you know. So I go from here, home, back here every day. That's all I do. I wash my hands. I went from 47 times a day to probably 99 times a day. Wear my mask everywhere I go. You know, there's always that concern, you know. You know, right now you don't know if, you know, because of my heart condition, what happens, you know, to me if I do get it. So I got to be extra careful. With that being said, sometimes I tend to put myself aside and worry about other people more than me. I think that's why I'm here, because I worry about those guys before I put myself first.
Again, that's Dave Martinez, the Nationals manager, saying that he doesn't feel safe. I mean, he's doing everything he can to feel safe, but not feeling safe. And then the tweet from Ken Rosenthal that Will just read us about the Nationals players voting, the majority of them saying that they don't want to go down to Miami to play the next series if Miami's cleared to play by then. That's when things get dicey. Like, we were talking about this in the 11 o'clock hour, and I said, hopefully this is baseball's version of FC Dallas, and they recover from it and everything's okay. it also might not be, you know, it also might be something else entirely. And if the Nationals don't want to go down there and play them, I don't know what baseball does about that.
Yeah. And here's the other part of this too. And I don't want to be Mr. Doomsday. Like, that's the thing. We're not rooting against the season by just telling you what's actually true and what's not. But the Phillies testing negative, all the players testing positive or testing negative rather today, doesn't mean a darn thing about whether or not they might test positive 5 or 6 days from now. We know that this virus takes a couple of days to incubate, and you know, we don't know what the tests are going to look like 4 or 5 days from now. Yes, it's encouraging that they have no positive tests today, and that might mean that they can play the Yankees tomorrow and Thursday, but it doesn't mean necessarily anything for the potential future of them and their viability in terms of whether or not they've been affected by the Marlins.
You know something that sports radio hosts generally don't love to say? Like, it's not the most popular phrase among sports radio hosts, especially when talking about sports.
I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah. Like, I don't mind saying it. There's so much stuff I don't know. You could fill an entire swimming pool with it. But it's a lot of I don't knows these days, man. It's like basically
makes it tough
all
for us.
I don't know. Not really. You just have to be honest about it. I don't know. Yeah. I'll talk about anything. We can talk about hot wings if you want. Yams.
I'm a fan with that.
I don't care. I did some wallpaper work yesterday. I can give some tips on how to be better at that.
Talk about all the great beers in Atlanta that you can't drink.
We got to go to break now because Wendy said so. We'll come back.
Got it.
And we'll be joined by Jason Butt. Jason Butt to talk some Falcons. See, that's why she said that, because the bumper was going to run out. Sorry, Wendy. We'll be right back.
Whoops.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Hey, Willie P filling in for him today, tomorrow, and Thursday as well. And I mean, it's opening day, I guess, reporting day. Starting day, whatever you want to call it for NFL training camp, but it certainly feels different because it is different. I mean, they're not getting on the field today. It's a very different and unique situation. Jason Butt joins us to talk about Falcons training camp. First and foremost, though, Jason, Jason joins us from the AJC as well as Tackler Media. And congrats, man. Congrats on the new gig with the paper.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for that. And thanks for having me on. It's been a interesting last couple months, but yeah, couldn't be happier to be helping out D-Led with the AJC this year.
And no surprise to anybody that's read your work throughout the years that you know you figured it out as quickly as you did, but also check out what Jason and a couple other folks are doing with Tackler Media. That's great stuff too. Daily updates and daily articles that have been phenomenal. So what is today like? Like, if you're Deion Jones and you're reporting to Flowery Branch today, what are you doing? What's your day?
Oh, it's very, very simple. You show up with a mask on, you get your temperature taken, and you get a coronavirus test, and then you go home. That's simple.
Okay.
Then you leave, and then you quarantine yourself for 2 days, and then you do it all over again on day four. And then once your second result comes back, if you were negative the first time, and then your second test is also negative, then you're allowed entry into the building. Fortunately for the Falcons, all the rookies that went through this process last week, all of them cleared with two negatives. Nobody popped up on the new COVID reserve list that the NFL has handily put out. No quarterbacks. They reported before the rest of the veterans. None of them showed up on the list. So you can deduce from that, since the team is not allowed to announce positive results or those who have been in contact with people who tested positive, you can deduce there that those folks have cleared thus far. So we'll see how the veterans make it through this week when it comes to the testing process.
Jason, how well do you think, with all the things that and all the obstacles that we have to deal with when it comes to this training camp, less reps, less days with pads, and all the other stuff that we get into before the ramp-up of what we believe will be a season beginning on the 13th of September, how well do you feel the Falcons are positioned to handle those obstacles?
You know, they're in a position just like everybody else. You know, one person I spoke with, in the building, you know, he mentioned that the teams who are the most equipped, most creative, the ones who have the most foresight, they're the ones who are going to succeed under these parameters. Those who kind of go by the wayside and typically handle most situations poorly. You know, he didn't say this, but my thinking is those teams who typically handle things poorly are probably going to handle this poorly. So you say what you want about the Falcons on the field, you know, with the last two seasons, but when it comes to a lot of the off-field measures, when it comes to how their image is projected, you don't see a whole lot of issues on that front. So they're going to hope that they can navigate these uncharted waters as smoothly as you possibly can. It remains to be seen. As we've seen with the Miami Marlins, all it takes is one guy getting it and then passing it on, and then it just kind of spreads and unbeknownst to other people. So they're going to have to do everything in their powers to try and get everybody on the same accord to not put themselves and others at risk with this virus, given the ramifications if one player who has then been in contact with other teammates suddenly tests positive. Then you're talking about a whole lot of guys who end up on that COVID-19 reserve list who were then quarantined for quite some time.
Jason Butt joining us on the WadeFord.com hotline on the day that Falcons players are reporting to Flowery Branch, and as Jason told us, showing up with a mask, taking a test, going home. Hopefully testing positive, showing up 2 days later, taking another test.
Negative. You don't want to test positive.
Yeah, my bad.
Get a positive result,
which would be a negative test.
Exactly.
Yeah, my bad. Thank you for catching that. We've also seen today, Jason, players around the league opting out. Like 6 guys on the Patriots have decided not to play. A couple other guys around the league opting out of playing. Any indication that the Falcons would be dealing with that? And I guess if so, then what do you do?
As of 12:27, not yet. But okay, that will be good. If we get Dan Quinn at 1 o'clock. So that surely will be a question he's presented with in his virtual press conference. With 90 players, I mean, you would think maybe one or two at minimum are seriously thinking about it, especially if you're seeing a franchise like the Patriots dealing with the number of opt-outs that you've seen already on day one of reportings for veterans. So that's something that remains to be seen at this time. People have families to think about. The last thing I think people want to do, with this, if they are feeling hesitant, you've seen this with certain baseball players, is contracting the virus and then spreading it through their families. If these people do want to be able to go home and keep their families safe too, you look around the country, for instance, a lot of workplaces are still working remotely. I think there could be some players who are, yes, employees of their franchises, they could be thinking, in their mind, maybe the risk isn't worth it. For others, maybe the precautions that are in the protocols in place allow them to feel safe enough. So obviously every individual is different, but I would think that there's a possibility that a couple, maybe more Falcons players are at least considering it. I think we'll have a better indication in just a half hour when Dan Quinn speaks with the media.
Jason Butt covering the Atlanta Falcons for the AJC and Tackler Media, joining us on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy on the WadeFord.com hotline. So, Jason, I guess the biggest concern, I think, for a lot of Falcon fans is, will this offensive line get itself back to a scenario where they're able to protect Matt Ryan a lot better than they have over the last 2 years? Left guard's been kind of a revolving door. We think we know what the right side's going to look like with McGarry and Lindstrom, but still not necessarily 100% sure. How do you feel like they navigate that concern, and how confident are you that they'll be able to put a representative O-line out there?
Yeah, left guard's the big question mark. It could be rookie Matt Hennessy. You talk about Matt Gonneau might be somebody who can slide into that spot. Obviously, James Carpenter and Jamon Brown didn't have the seasons that the front office or coaching staff would have hoped for, given the fact that they paid those guys pretty well to come in and help solidify the offensive line, especially from a depth perspective. So that's the big one. What do they do at left guard? I think that's kind of the most important. Yet, it's not the sexiest position to be talking about a battle with, but it's probably the most important battle of them all. And then on the right side, though, Chris Lindstrom, the Falcons were very unfortunate that he was hurt last year. I appropriately went out to a workout last week where McGarry and Lindstrom were there, and Lindstrom looks the part. Just getting rave reviews from folks that Keenan Forney, for instance, he's been working with them, just raving about Chris Lindstrom right now, about how the work he's put in over this past month, how technical and sound his fundamentals are right now. Just thinking he could be in for a really big season, assuming everything stays well and healthy with him. And then Caleb McGarry, obviously, McGarry, this is the first story I wrote for the AJC. He admitted that there was he put a little more pressure on himself, that he bought into some of the external criticisms, maybe let some of the mental stuff get to him last year. So for him, he's thinking, okay, I'm big enough, I'm strong enough, I've always succeeded at every other level of football. The mindset there is to ensure that he knows he belongs and that he can take care of business. And he's obviously working on some fundamental things when it comes to the pass protection. That was an area Dirk Cutter wanted to see improve. And so that's going to be a big thing for Atlanta. If Caleb McGarry can clean up those pass protection mistakes from last year, then perhaps that right side of the line, which should have good chemistry with the two, they're pretty close friends, Lindstrom and McGarry, that right side of the line should have some good chemistry there. And like I said, if the pass protection cleans up on McGarry's part, I think you should see some pretty good improvement, over on that side.
Jason, I know it's hard to really predict anything about what this season's going to look like. We've never seen something like this before. We've never seen a training camp like this before. No preseason. It may be pretty raggedy the first couple weeks as far as what the football looks like. But I also think it's really hard. It's going to be really hard for these rookies that the Falcons are expecting a lot from, to just jump right in there and be ready to go with this weird offseason. Does the lack of preseason games, the lack of a normal training camp, change the way that they might use some of these top draft picks in the first couple weeks?
No, A.J. Terrell should start, I think. I think Marlon Davidson will still be a key player. I mean, those are guys that they were drafted there for a reason. I don't think that the top two guys are in any danger of suddenly not seeing playing time. I think if you can play, if the scheme fits, they're going to put you out there. At some point, you got to get thrown into the fire, preseason game or not. And on top of that, everybody's on an equal footing. So there are going to be other teams who need to put their rookies out there from day one. And so everyone's dealing with the same sort of issues. Now, when you talk about the later round picks, I think Matt Hennessy's an interesting one, because he's a guy, especially on the offensive line, when he has to learn so much information in terms of the different pass sets. Him having to play left guard, but also probably rep at center with backup Alex Mack. I think he's a guy that might, suddenly might wind up in a backup role. Maybe not have that early opportunity to start like we would have otherwise anticipated by missing those game reps that they're not going to get this year. And then where it really is going to hurt rookies, in most years, they usually come out of a preseason going, wow, well, that guy and that guy of the undrafted ranks, those guys, like last year, Olamide Zaccheaus, that guy's looked pretty good all offseason. That guy's looked pretty good in preseason games. We got to keep him on the 53-man roster. Those guys may not have that opportunity this year. And I think that's the consequence that is going to be really unfortunate, with how everything's played out and how it's transpired, because there's going to inevitably be guys who may otherwise have deserved an opportunity to start on the initial roster, but may not have that opportunity, might have to be stashed on the expanded practice squad just because they don't have those game opportunities to prove that they actually belong in this league. Or for Olamide Zaccheaus' standpoint, the team got him in OTAs and realized that he was a valuable guy, needed to be on a 53 from day one without any experience. The team hasn't even had that to base any judgments on. Right. So I think that's really where it's going to hurt guys the most, is those bottom of the roster type guys who are fighting for spots. Those opportunities just might not be there, given that there's just been no practice and no preseason action coming forward.
It is unusual, to say the least. We appreciate you helping us through it. We'll chat again soon as training camp is underway today. Thanks, Jason.
Yeah, absolutely. Y'all take care. Thanks for having me on.
Jason Butt there from the AJC, as well as Tackler Media. Follow him on Twitter at Jason H. Butt. Great article today. Three big questions regarding the Falcons. We'll tweet that out. Coming back with three damn good questions, or a few damn good questions, with Brian Gebhardt after this. So don't go anywhere. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
The outbreak of the coronavirus has affected us all here in Atlanta, and it's made some changes in the sports world as well. As the stories continue to break, we're here to give you the latest. Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Tuesday. 20 minutes away from getting back into what's trending, and there's a lot trending. More names from the NFL, more guys from the NFL opting out of the season. We'll give you a full rundown of everybody that's opted out coming up in 20 minutes. And back into what's going on with the Braves as well. They're back. The crazy thing that I'm still struggling to get used to, Will, as Willie P. fills in for Randy for the next couple of days, is that baseball being back means there's baseball every single day. Like, all of the other stuff over this period of time, like, we, like, ramped up to it for weeks, and then it would happen, and then we'd have to wait weeks again for something else. Like, remember the NFL draft? It's like, oh, man, the NFL draft's going to be great. And then it was 3 days, and then it was over. And then it was hard. The ESPN Michael Jordan documentary, and that was only once a week. Like, having baseball every week and kind of getting, or every day, and getting back into that routine is really great. I'm really thankful for it. I just hope it, you know, I hope it stays around.
It's hard not to overreact to every game that takes place over the course of these first couple of days with baseball, though at the end of the day, you also feel like you kind of have to because of how condensed the season is compared to what we usually have.
Yeah, it is. And it's also fun just to see people reacting to baseball. Like, have my Twitter feed be people angry or people happy or whatever. Like, sharing that communal experience of watching a sporting event and tweeting about it has been really great. And again, I hope baseball is able to keep that going. And what's going on with the Marlins right now and subsequently the Phillies and maybe even the Nationals does not derail it, because that would really suck. God, that would be so frustrating. Anyway, we'll get back into what's trending. Top of the 1 o'clock hour. Smokin' Joe Patrick going to join us at 1:20, as he does on Tuesdays and Thursdays. One programming note to mention. At 2 o'clock today, Dan Quinn joins Dukes and Bell. So I know he's meeting with the assembled media at 1 o'clock. He is going to join Dukes and Bell on this very radio station at 2 o'clock. So training camp starts today. The head coach joins the afternoon, guys. So be sure to be tuned in for that. With all that said, let's get to Brian.
Time now for some damn good questions about stuff and things with Brian Gephardt.
Brought to you by Engineered Solutions of Georgia, proud partner of the Georgia Bulldogs. Dial 678 ESOG now. Hey, Brian.
Hey, guys. So I'm not too worried about either of these guys too much, but nephew Ronnie is just 3-for-19 with 11 strikeouts, and Freddie is 2-for-10. He does have 6 walks. Mm-hmm. Are you guys concerned at all?
I'm not.
0% concerned?
Zero. 0% concerned, just because I know these guys are professionals. Like, at the end of the day, there has to be some sort of belief and confidence that both those guys will figure it out. I know it's common to see both of them get off to the stretches where they've been streaky, but you know that each of them at their top performance level is better than anything the Braves have, part and parcel in spades.
And I agree with that. I don't think that they're going to be bad baseball players like for the rest of their lives. I don't think that they're not good anymore. What concerns me, though, is that slumps are real, and slumps happen in baseball seasons, and it's frustrating when they happen in 162-game seasons. It's especially magnified in a year like this. And, you know, we talked about it before the year started. Anybody going on a, whatever, you know, 8-10-game slump sucks normally. Now, that's 3 weeks. That's a month in what this baseball season is. And the thing that concerns me, the thing that I'm worried about, I'm not 0% worried just because it's all magnified because of the condensed season, is Ronald Acuña striking out as often as he is and how he looks doing it. That's what concerns me about it, because I've seen it. I've watched him. Ronald Acuña is up there looking like he's trying to hit the ball 500 feet every single time he's at the plate, which is weird. Like, I know that he is a slugger and can hit the baseball out of the stadium. He did it 41 times last year, but his approach just hasn't looked very good at all this year. Like, we've seen Austin Riley's approach develop into, like, you know, pretty close to a Major League Baseball hitter. Ronald Acuna has looked kind of lost at times. And to strike out 11 times in 19 at-bats is troubling. And that's what concerns me. I'm not saying that I don't think he's going to figure it out. I just don't know how long it's going to take. And every day it goes longer becomes a bigger deal because this season's really short.
I would say my concern is there for Ronald more because I feel like he's had more time. I'm less concerned about Freddie because he did spend so much time on the shelf with COVID-19 and still, I'm sure, trying to work his way back from all of the struggles there. I'm less concerned about him. I'm probably more concerned about Ronnie. If it was one of the two that I'd be more concerned about.
Yeah, I mean, they're both going to figure it out. They're both going to hit the ball well eventually. I just hope it doesn't take very long because, you know, four games is 12 games, basically. Mm-hmm. So that's bad. So get it together, fellas. Stop striking out every time you go up there. Stop striking out, Ronnie. I mean, 11 out of 19 is really bad. Now, at least Freddie Freeman's walking. Ronald Acuña hasn't even walked once. Walked once in four games. You're Ronald Acuña, man. They're going to be picking and choosing what pitches they want to throw to you. Just, I don't know. His approach has been a little bit weird. Hopefully he'll figure it out. I'm sure he will.
Do you dare consider moving him out of the one spot if the slump continues for another week?
Where do you move him to?
Do you move him to the four spot?
I wouldn't. I mean, Ozuna has been doing well there so far. I mean, maybe just to reset him because he did it last year. You moved to he was at four, and then you put him back to lead off, and that's when things really started to click, if that's a theory. But no, I wouldn't do that. Ronald Acuña has made it pretty clear that he's comfortable in the leadoff spot, so I'm leaving him there.
Best thing is leaving him alone, I think, too.
Yeah, agreed. Only four games in, but...
It is only four games, but it feels like a lot more than that, so I understand.
It does. As bad as Folty was last night, did you guys breathe a sigh of relief a little bit when you saw Craig Kimbrell's night? And let me explain a little bit. For those who didn't see it, Kimbrell pitched one-third of an inning. He had 34 pitches. Only 13 of those were strikes. He walked four guys. He hit another one. He gave up two runs. And the funny part about the whole thing is that he actually got credited with the hold because they hold on to the lead 8-7 after being up 8-1.
You got to hold.
That's why I feel like baseball stats don't always tell the full story.
Yeah.
great one point. Reason there.
Wins, holds, seven. Luke Jackson got a win the other day. On Saturday when he was giving us all ulcers, he got the win because he got himself in trouble, as he always does. He was third on the team in wins last year, Luke Jackson was, because he would blow a save and it would turn into a win. I'm thankful that the Braves didn't sign Craig Kimbrell last year. That when it was Keuchel and Kimbrell and everybody wanted him for old time's sake and all that, I'm glad that they didn't do that.
There was some who wanted both, but now neither is here. And you know, even Keuchel, people are saying, "Oh, why did they get rid of Dallas Keuchel?" I mean, he did go 5 1/3, one run allowed, I believe, in his first start with the White Sox. But it's not like he's setting the world on fire either.
What I wouldn't do for Dallas Keuchel right now, given the Braves' starting rotation, boy, would it be nice. Or Julio Teheran. I know Brian wanted to talk about Julio Teheran. Wouldn't it be nice to have old reliable Julio Teheran right now to go five innings and give up three runs? Good Lord.
You make that sound so nice.
It would be unbelievable to have somebody that you could actually count on to do that. Right now, Kyle Wright goes tonight. I hope he does well. I don't know. Who knows? He's a total unknown. Hopefully he figures it out. After that, I don't know what they do. Neither does Brian Snicker. We'll come back. We'll get to what's trending to kick off the 1 o'clock hour. Half an hour away from Smoking Joe Patrick. 45 minutes away from the AMA. Get your AMA questions in. We'll be right back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.